You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are pleased to welcome Dan Pompey, who joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you today.
Great. It's great to have you because there's plenty to talk about. Yesterday, the news that Colin Kaepernick will be working out Saturday in Atlanta. The NFL is, announced yesterday, invited all 32 teams to attend. Let's start there, Dan, because a lot of conversation about, number one, why now? And the second question, obviously, from a local perspective is, will the Bears attend, and why shouldn't they?
Well, I'm not sure about the why now, other than the fact that maybe Kaepernick's camp has pushed for this because they haven't received the individual team workouts that they maybe would have hoped to get. In terms of the Bears, I mean, you got to look, right? It doesn't hurt to look. I think you should look at everything. You're talking about a player who has had some success in the National Football League. I don't think it would be something that they would be interested in doing right now, because right now, they're going to ride with Mitch Trubisky for the rest of the season unless there's a complete disaster. And I don't think you'd want to bring in Kaepernick as a backup. So then your question would be, is this a guy you would consider as your starter for next year? And, that's an interesting question. They are going to have better options, I think, in the veteran market than Colin Kaepernick next year, as I outlined in the story I did on The Athletic, talking to scouts about all the veteran options. There's going to be some good guys out there available, potentially Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill. The list goes on. There's going to be a number of guys. So, Kaepernick, you're talking about a guy who has not played in 3 years. He's 32 years old. He was an athletic-dependent quarterback, and he was 3-16 in his last 19 starts. It'll be very interesting to see where he is. Nobody really knows.
2 years and 8 months. I mean, he might be better served going to one of these leagues if he really wants to play. I think part of the problem is that Kaepernick won't go anywhere other than the NFL, and he believes he belongs in the NFL. And there are teams that will look at him and say, as an awful long period of time, and he needs to do something to sort of catch everyone's attention. And the idea that he's healthy, that's great, and that's required, but that's not reason alone to look at a guy who's been on the shelf for almost 3 years.
Yeah, agreed. And the other thing is, this is not just a football decision when you're talking about a player with his kind of past. You're talking about an ownership decision, and you need ownership to sign off on that. So it's not quite as clean as a lot of moves would be. And the Bears, of course, have a pretty conservative ownership. I don't know how they would look at someone like Colin Kaepernick.
Dan, when you look at yesterday's story in the Chicago Tribune, Dan Wiederer and Rich Campbell talked about Ryan Pace, and they recounted the entire process of going back to the 2017 draft and how Pace was fixated on getting a quarterback, and there was almost a mandate publicly to get and draft a quarterback. And the revelation was that they did not meet face-to-face with Deshaun Watson before that draft. What was your reaction to that, and how common or uncommon is that?
Well, I don't know that, that's something that is the end of the world. I think sometimes when teams are trying to really keep their cards close to the vest, they will avoid a meeting. I know I spent some time with the Ravens in the offseason for a story about how Lamar Jackson got to become their starter and the guy that the center of their world was around. And they were really set on nobody knowing about their interest in Jackson. And they went to great lengths to really hide that. And they did not want to let anyone know that he was even visiting their facility. So they arranged this visit surreptitiously and managed to pull it off. Eric DaCosta, their general manager, told me that at one point during the visit, one of the national reporters, NFL reporters, got wind of the fact that Lamar Jackson was at their facility, and he called DaCosta and said, "Hey, listen, I hear that you got Lamar there." And DaCosta said, I can't confirm that." He said, "You better be really sure of your source." And as it turned out, it never got out. So, so these things happen, and you know, I think it doesn't disturb me that they didn't meet with him face to face, as much as you know they seem to really miss the evaluation is the big issue.
The Lamar Jackson moved. I know it was against Cincinnati, but that performance was electrifying, and it was amazing, Dan, because they had some cameras on the sidelines, and they had him and John Harbaugh mic'd up. And after that play, as he was on the bench, Harbaugh came over to him and said, "You're changing the game. There are kids that are going to buy your jersey, and they're going to all try to play like you. You've changed the game." And he said, the kid says back to him, "I just want to go to the Super Bowl. I just want to win the Super Bowl." And Harbaugh says to him, "That's why your teammates love you." And the kid apparently didn't hear him and said, "I love you too, coach." It was fantastic. It's like this beautiful moment, you know. But it really speaks volumes about the player, and it speaks a ton about John Harbaugh, who does not get the recognition that he deserves. And it took something like changing your entire offense to match the player for him to finally get, even though he's won a Super Bowl, maybe the appreciation of everything he's done there.
Great, great point. I'm actually in Baltimore today. I'm going to be with the Ravens, and I'm supposed to visit with Harbaugh. So I think he's done a wonderful job this year. I think he's been able to kind of reinvent that team a couple times. And, you know, the players who he won with initially, you know, the Ray Lewis's and the Ed Reed's, they're gone now. And they've done a really good job of drafting and developing, and then bringing in veterans and kind of putting them, using them like puzzle pieces and putting them in holes and making them fit. And, you know, being flexible with what they do both offensively and defensively. You know, he's changed offensive coordinators, he's changed defensive coordinators, and you know, they just keep it going. I think that's a sign of a really good coach, and he's got a really interesting background. You know, he came from the same tree that Matt Nagy came from, because he was a Andy Reid disciple when he was in Philadelphia as their special teams coach, and he's obviously really, I think, mastered being a head coach, and not just a guy who does one thing or you know, is a specialist in one area.
Dan, in the context of Bears versus Rams Sunday in L.A., Mitch Trubisky, Jared Goff, Mully asked a really good question this morning. Is it better to not have the right guy at quarterback or to have overpaid the wrong guy?
I would say it's a good question. Probably better off to not have the right guy. Because, you know, that's a problem that you could probably correct more easily than if you have overpaid the wrong guy. Because once you overpay the wrong guy, you know, your options are more limited in terms of going out and finding a replacement. And it saddles you and it hurts your ability to do other things. So, I guess what you're telling me is the Bears are in a better position than the Rams. Is that what you're saying?
Moving forward, a lot more flexibility,
perhaps.
It doesn't
feel that way. Yeah. So, Dan, help me out. We look at this game, and obviously you've got – we know about Khalil Mack and how great a defensive player he is. And Aaron Donald is already there with the Rams. They went out, and their Mack move, if you will, was Jalen Ramsey and getting a cornerback, and they've changed the way they're playing a little bit because their offensive line's a mess right now. The quarterback, as we know, is not playing well, and the running back's not playing well. When you look at the number of moves that were made around this season, and we just saw another one on Monday Night Football where you had an amazing performance from Jadeveon Clowney. That third-round pick is worth it if you win that game. Will that happen more often? Have we seen this kind of breakthrough now where, you know, Laremy Tunsil has helped? You look at all the guys that moved and all the trades that were made. They moved the trade deadline back. There was more action this year than we've seen in a while, and it seems like it's all helping, right? Huh. I mean, look at Pittsburgh. That's helping them.
Yeah, you know, I think this has been a trend that has been building for a long time, the NFL. Really, it started when Jimmy Johnson went to the Cowboys in about 1990, and he started doing things that nobody had done before with draft picks. And I think it kind of opened up a new way of thinking that continues to grow and evolve. And you see, you've seen a lot of young general managers like Les Snead and Ryan Pace who are not afraid to do things that people were kind of afraid to do before. They were afraid to take those risks. You can't do that. You know, you can't trade Jalen Ramsey or Jadeveon Clowney. I think in some of those circumstances, there were some unusual situations, though, right? You know, certainly with Mac and the Raiders, that was an unusual situation, right, that led to that trade. Ramsey, you know, that was a little unusual situation. Fitzpatrick in Miami, you know, that was a little, and Tunsil, those were unusual situations. But you know what? The league is full of unusual situations, and you know, you end up every year with guys sitting there saying, you know, I'd like to be somewhere else, but I'm not happy here. And I think, you know, the other part of this equation is those guys are making these things happen a little bit too, maybe more so than in the past. Maybe they've become a little bit more powerful in that regard.
Dan, you referenced the story you wrote about the potential quarterbacks for the Bears in 2020. I love that list of the guys on it. If you had to lay odds right now on the most likely quarterback that the Bears could pursue in the offseason, who would it be?
Well, see, the thing we don't know yet, David, is what the perception of Mitchell Trubisky is going to be at the end of the season. Are the Bears going to think he's a guy that needs to be replaced entirely as the starter and he's a backup from now on, or someone they're moving on from? If that's the case, then I think it's Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's the best candidate, and he's a guy who you probably feel the best about in terms of moving forward. If it's a guy who you think, if you think that Trubisky is a guy that might still have the value to become a starter, but you want to hedge your bet and you want to bring in somebody who could either push him or compete with him for the starting job, you know, now it's a different situation. Now you want to get a guy who maybe doesn't cost you quite as much, who isn't necessarily a 5-year solution, a 10-year solution. Maybe then you go for a guy like Ryan Tannehill or Marcus Mariota, who we all know Ryan Pace had interest in at one point. So,
and they got his offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator was his head coach in college.
Yeah. So, you know, I think there's a lot of possibilities, and it's too early to say, this is the level of quarterback the Bears are going to be pursuing in the offseason.
They are
going to be pursuing a quarterback. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, we'll let you go. What would the perception of Mitch be after Sunday? Will they win that game?
Well, it's certainly a game they can win. I have no doubts about that because the Rams are a team that has struggled in a lot of ways, as the Bears have. But, you know, the Rams still are, I think, doing some things better than the Bears are doing, and it's not going to be easy. I made a statement last week that there were only a handful of teams in the NFL that the Bears could have beaten on Sunday with the way they played, and Lions were one of them. I don't think they could beat the Rams if they played the way they did Sunday, and I'm not sure they could play any better. So right now I think that, you know, the Rams have to – still have the upper hand, and it will be interesting to see how Trubisky comes back off of a good game and to see if he can and build on that and get some confidence going and feel better on a national stage against a little better defense.
Great stuff, Dan. Thanks a ton.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.